Imagine standing at your own lavish destination wedding in Goa, surrounded by 200 guests, when you realize you're trapped in a life you don't fully want. This is exactly where Radhika Mehta finds herself, a brilliant 27-year-old vice president at Goldman Sachs with a seven-figure salary who has become highly unlikable by Indian standards because she's opinionated, financially independent, and sexually experienced. As relatives bicker over ceremonial details and the resort becomes a pressure cooker of family dynamics, Radhika faces an existential crisis that forces her to confront the contradictions of being a successful Indian woman in a society that simultaneously pushes women to achieve while punishing them for outshining men. Throughout life, Radhika has carried the weight of being labeled the smart one rather than the pretty one, a distinction that has shaped her identity and relationships. During her bachelorette party, her sister Aditi's toast crystallizes their prescribed roles. My sister only studied and worked hard. I had the boobs, she had the brains. This reduction of women to either beauty or intellect reflects the constrained roles society offers them. Despite ranking at the top of her class at prestigious institutions and securing a coveted position at Goldman Sachs, her mother's immediate reaction was anxiety. How will we ever find you a husband now? The message was clear. In Indian society, a woman's professional success could become an impediment in the marriage market. Radhika's relationship with Debashish, Debu, in New York, initially seemed perfect. A self-proclaimed dreamer philosopher who quoted feminist authors, he represented everything she thought she wanted. Their relationship blossomed across Manhattan, sharing dumplings in Chinatown and debating politics in Greenwich Village. However, as Radhika's career accelerated, cracks appeared. When she received a substantial bonus, Debu's discomfort with her earning triple his salary revealed how professional achievement strained their relationship. The breaking point came during a late-night call about a business deal. Debu's criticism went beyond ethics. "You've become hardened. The Radhika I fell in love with wouldn't do this." Despite his feminist rhetoric, he wanted a wife who would prioritize home over career. "I want someone who'll be there when I come home," he admitted. Radhika's response captured the hypocrisy. "Men want both career and sex? You don't make them choose, but women must choose between flying and having a nest?" In Hong Kong, Radhika finds professional fulfillment under Neil Gupta's mentorship. Their professional relationship transforms during a business trip to the Philippines, where they structure a deal preserving employee jobs. On a moonlit private island, professional boundaries dissolve into passion, a connection both inevitable and impossible. In London, Radhika reluctantly enters the arranged marriage market. Her profile downplays her career achievements while emphasizing being family-minded and able to cook. When questioned, her mother reveals her strategy of hiding Radhika's accomplishments to avoid intimidating potential matches, a telling commentary on what society values in women. The process reveals stark contradictions. Dr. Raj Bakshi from Boston abruptly ends their call upon learning about her VP position and salary, claiming her income is too high compared to his. The message is clear: many men cannot handle a woman who out-earns them. This tension erupts during an emotional confrontation with her mother at a London restaurant. When her mother laments Radhika's career focus, implying she's not even a girl anymore, Radhika challenges the contradiction. "You wanted me to study, to achieve, but now you can't handle that I did achieve?" The conversation turns deeply personal when Radhika mentions how her mother had wanted to abort her, a painful reminder of the gender expectations that have shaped her entire existence. After rejecting many potential grooms, Radhika connects with Brijesh Gulati, a Facebook systems engineer in San Francisco. Despite initial hesitation about his typical name and seemingly boring personality, she's drawn to his understated confidence and self-awareness. Their shared Delhi childhood creates an immediate bond through memories of landmarks and street food vendors. Brijesh distinguishes himself by genuinely appreciating her international experience rather than feeling intimidated. When she deliberately wears a gray office suit instead of traditional Indian attire during their first meeting, a small rebellion, he responds with appreciation rather than judgment. Yet beneath this compatibility, something crucial is missing. Radhika's agreement to marry comes more from pragmatic resignation than passionate conviction. Her mother's persistent reminder that no prince on a horse will come echoes in her mind, pushing her toward rational compatibility over emotional connection. This settlement becomes the catalyst for her crisis in Goa, where the gap between her choice and true desires becomes impossible to ignore. As Radhika's elaborate wedding celebrations unfold in Goa, her carefully constructed present shatters when both her past lovers make dramatic appearances. Neil arrives with divorce papers and a chartered plane waiting, proposing marriage in true Wall Street fashion. Meanwhile, Debu emerges, having finally confronted his parents about their relationship, the very issue that originally drove them apart. Despite her inner turmoil, Radhika performs flawlessly during the Sandeet celebration, an endeavor she wryly notes as more challenging than foreclosing assets of a distressed Chinese factory. Beneath her elaborate makeup and stunning lehenga, she's drowning in indecision, her analytical mind failing to produce a clear solution. The situation becomes unbearable when she attempts to confide in Brijesh. His dismissive response, treating her concerns as mere pre-wedding jitters, mirrors attitudes she's faced throughout her career. At 3:30 a.m., standing alone on her hotel balcony watching the moonlight dance across the Arabian Sea, Radhika finally achieves clarity. Drawing on the same decisiveness that made her successful in banking, she composes messages to all three men requesting their presence for breakfast. In a 5 a.m. hotel coffee shop confrontation, Radhika articulates her clarity. Debu preached feminism but couldn't handle my success, while Neil loved my ambition but couldn't offer stability. Her rejection of both men stems from painful self-reflection, leading to her hardest decision, canceling her wedding to Brijesh, who simply met her at the wrong time. The social fallout is severe. Her mother slaps her, aunties offer fake sympathy while collecting gossip, and Brijesh's family radiates disapproval. Yet Brijesh himself shows unexpected grace. She's making the right choice for herself, and that takes courage. 3 months later, Radhika has traveled extensively, seeking self-understanding beyond social roles. She reconnects with Brijesh on what would have been their anniversary, and his kindness suggests a possible second chance, not because she needs completion, but because she now approaches relationships from self-knowledge rather than societal pressure. When he mentions needing help with his startup, they form a partnership of equals. The story avoids a neat romantic ending for something more nuanced. True connection requires first connecting with oneself. Radhika's journey challenges the false dichotomies imposed on ambitious women, her path representing radical self-determination in a world still uncomfortable with women who refuse to choose between flying and having a nest.